Take your Bibles, please turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Tonight we're going to continue our series on recipes for the Christian life, and tonight we're going to talk about the recipe for direction. The recipe for direction. Proverbs chapter 3, very familiar passage. Let's look at verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Keep your finger there and look at me for a moment. We live in strange days. People are in panic mode and have no clear direction. If you watch people right now, they're like a lost goose in a snowstorm. They're just everywhere. People flock to the stores and buy up and hoard all they can and look at a virus like it's some enemy army that are going to conquer us. I am not minimizing sickness, I'm not minimizing death, but listen to this very carefully here. What about the 113,000 deaths due to flu since January 1st? What about the 249,000 suicides since January 1st this year? What about the 581,599 deaths by alcohol this year? What about the 1,162,500 deaths because of smoking this year? Hang on. What about the 9,913,000 aborted babies this year so far? Folks, that's from January 1st to March 25th, just last week, worldwide. I'm not happy at 30-some thousand people that have died. But we've murdered almost 10 million babies in the same amount of time. It amazes me that the government says that keeping liquor stores open is essential, and yet we have to close the church. Mr. Cuomo in New York City today put his foot in his mouth and crawled in up to his hip. He said if churches stay open, he'll close them down and seize their buildings and they'll never reopen. That's what they want to do. Now listen to me very carefully. It's okay to go buy liquor, but churches are endangering lives. That doesn't make sense to me. Our world needs direction. It's okay to be in the stores with hundreds of others, but don't go to church. And again, I'm not complaining, and I understand people that are truly needing to protect their health. I get that. I'm not critical of anybody. But may I say something? America needs direction. Sorry. I'm not asking anybody to be critical of someone who's not here. Don't do it. They have their reason. It's okay. I'm not upset. That's why we've done the video. That's why we've done the FM radio. That's why we're doing our audio recording like we always do. That's why I'm trying to make every medium available that we can that's affordable and able to be done. I understand not wanting to get sick. Personally, I don't like it either. I don't like the thoughts of it either. But may I say this, we need godly direction. Can I tell you something? Following down the road of fear always leads to bullies and evil, not godly principles. Following down the road of fear always leads to bullies and evil, not godly direction. Now, God gives us a recipe for godly direction. Let me give you the four ingredients very quickly. Trust in the Lord, number one. Number two, with all thine heart. Number three, lean not to your own or our own understanding. And number four, in all thy ways acknowledge him. I'm going to break these down, show you what they are, and we'll put it together here in about 30 minutes and be done. Number one, trust in the Lord. The word trust is a very interesting word. The word trust means to roll upon. It means to put your confidence in. It means to give your full assurance to something. If you trust me, you're saying, I'm going to let you tell me this or do this or be a part of this, knowing it may or may not work out right, but at least you were sincere and I can keep you, you'll keep me from being hurt as bad. That's what it is. Can I tell you something? Nobody other than God is totally trustworthy. But even God doesn't have control of everything yet. Now, to roll upon, to place confidence in, or assurance. God wants us to place our trust in him, not man. Let me say that again. God wants us to place our trust in him, not man, not yourself. I hear people say from time to time, the only person I trust is myself. God help you. That's a pretty bad statement to make right there. We make ourselves out to be something we're not. Well, I'll put my trust in the preacher. I think there's a level of trust you ought to give your preacher, but not all of it. I am not God. No nail prints. I'd make a pretty bad God. No comments, please. No honking of your horns in the parking lot either. God knows we ought not put our trust in the government. The county, the state, or the federal. Now, there are some things that we can trust them for. Yes. We can trust them to take our money. We can trust them to tax us more. Used to be we had tax and spend liberals. Now we have spend and spend politicians. May I say this? We're not supposed to just trust in education. One of the reasons we are where we are today is because of public education. We have been so educated in the public system to where people don't know they're losing their rights so fast. That is a true statement. You've heard me say for a while now, them trying to get rid of all the Civil War stuff. Well, it was a bad part of our history. And Civil War is about slavery. And slavery was bad. Civil War had nothing to do with slavery. It was states' rights over federal rights. Where are we at today? The only difference is you want a different slave master, which is your government. That's the difference. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 118, just back a few pages actually from where you're at right now. Psalm 118, look at verse number 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Princes meaning rulers. Very interesting to me. Did you know that Psalm 118, verse number 8, is the middle verse of the Bible? And that you know the middle two words of that verse are the Lord? So God says it's better to put our trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs chapter 3, we were just there a little while ago, verse 26 says this: For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Man's going to trip you up. Man's going to let you down. Your spouse will let you down. Your children will let you down. Your parents will let you down. Your grandparents will let you down. People are going to let you down. They don't always intend to, but they will. But may I say this, trust is not some foolishness. It would be foolish for me to say, Wyatt, come up here and I'm going to jump off the platform and you catch me. Well, I trust he can handle it. Well, God bless you. You jump, I'm not. It is letting somebody do something that they've already been trained to do. Trust is letting someone do what they have been trained to do. Let me give you a good illustration. God gave my wife and I 3 children. We stopped at 3. You say, why? Because I'd have killed the rest. If not, the first 3. And there were days. No. But I trained my 3 children to drive. I've instructed probably another close to dozen teenagers how to drive. There comes a point in time, though, when they get through all of their training. They've taken their temps test. They've put their hours of driving in. They've gone in. They've taken their test. They've passed their driver's test. And then you go, there you go, take it, and I'll see you in such and such time. It's okay. It's my truck. It's not my car. I'm not worried about it. I know where he lives. And my truck's not here, so he can't take it tonight anyway. Now, that sounds easy. How many of you remember the first time you handed the keys over to the kid and they had left on their own? Boy, are you on them pins and needles. You hear every siren. You think, where are they at? They didn't call me. They didn't do that. And that was back before there was cell phones. You have to put the fact that you trained them to the test. Well, what if they get stopped by the police? Well, hopefully you trained them what to do. And it's usually not what if they get stopped, it's when do they get stopped. You see, you have to trust them to do that which you trained them to do, or they'll never do it. That's why you have 25, 30, 35, 40-year-olds living at home still. Because mommy and daddy didn't train them to do anything and won't let them do anything. Boy, that's a big statement. May I say this? God doesn't want anybody sick. God doesn't want anybody hurting. It's not God's fault for a disease. It's man's sin. We brought it on ourselves. We are sinners. Don't blame God for it. I know some preacher's going to get up. You say, why? Because I know preachers. Oh, this is the judgment of God. Okay. Every disease that goes around, somebody's going to say something like that. From what I can tell, I don't see that in Scripture. But you do what you want with it. Trusting in God doesn't keep you from sickness. Trusting in God doesn't keep you from death. Trusting in God means you know he's going to be there as you go through those things. Did you know God didn't keep Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego from going into the fiery trial? They said, our God will deliver us. But if not. But if not. That but if not meant, I don't want to hurt. But if we do, hopefully it's hot enough we don't hurt very long. And we know God's going to take care of it. That's what trust is. Trust is, I believe God's going to take care of Grace Baptist Church, our church people, and I can't promise you nobody will ever get sick. Just like I can't promise that nobody's ever going to die. It's going to happen. We've already been through it a bunch. And if the Lord tarries, we'll be through a bunch more. You say, what is that? Trust is, I know God's going to take care of it. Trust is, we know what the truth says so that we can get through this. Now, so first ingredient is trust. Notice, in the Lord, not in man. Not in yourself, not in the government, not in your education, not in somebody else. Trust in the Lord. Number 2, with all thine heart. I love this. The word heart is the key word there. It means your emotions. Trust in the Lord with all your emotions. Boy, if we ever need this, we need it today. Now, I want you to notice something. This is not the trust for salvation.
That's right.
This is the trust as a Christian.
Amen.
This is the trust for direction, not for salvation. Now, listen to this very carefully here. Salvation is whosoever will. Direction is with all thine heart. Let me help you with something. When you got saved, you don't have to trust him with all your heart. Brother Barnes, I got just a little ring to this. Somebody said, well, you have to trust the Lord with all your heart to get saved. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that. You trust in the Lord with all your heart for direction, but not for salvation. Thank you, Brother Barnes. That did it. That helped a whole lot. It's been bothering me, but I didn't want to make you get up. So salvation is you put your trust in him. Say, well, let me ask you this. Show me the barometer of salvation of all your heart. There's no way to measure that. You have no emotion with which to love God when you get saved. You're not spiritual. You don't have a spiritual heart. But when you get saved, God puts a new spirit in you. Then God says you need to trust me with your emotions. Now, listen to this very carefully. Emotions confuse direction. Emotions confuse direction. Have you ever seen somebody so scared they didn't know which way to go? Emotion confuses direction. I've hunted a good bit. I've stopped a bunch of animals. People don't know. Deer are kind of, sometimes they're smart, sometimes they're stupid. They kind of remind you of teenagers. They're kind of smart, but sometimes they're kind of not. But you can stop a deer if he's on the move. Most of the time, 99% of the time, you can stop him. You just got to make a noise like that, and they'll stop running and pick their head up. Say, what's that? Key to go. No, the 2 bucks we both shot this year, one of which we'd stopped one. I stopped him on a dead run, and he took care of business. I do that all the time. I've done it with turkeys, calling them in, and other things like that. Can I say something here? You got to understand something. Sometimes they get confused. I was sitting at the edge of a cornfield one day doing some deer hunting, and a fox came by. He just come, little red fox come walking through there, and he didn't see me. He did diddy bop. He walks over to the fence and he hops the fence. And I promise you, he was as close to me as that microphone is. And I had a fence between us. And he had been out here for 3 or 4 minutes and he had run out in front of me and come down this way. He got right beside me. I thought, I'm going to have fun right now. That while he was scrabbling around, I picked up a little handful of dirt and rocks. And he got next to me and I went like this, and I hit through that stuff right through that fence, and as all you could hear was toenails tearing through the woods. And he started running in a circle. He ran about 10 feet away from me and ran in a circle, looking and looking and looking. He had no idea where it came from. He just ran in a circle, ran in a circle, ran in a circle, and took off, thinking, man, I hope he decides to go the other way. Say, what was that? The emotion confused him. And if you're not careful, we will allow emotions to confuse us. That's what the devil wants. That's what evil counts on. Evil counts on playing on people's emotions to lead them the way they want to lead them. Because of sin, by the way, let me show you what I mean. How many of you have ever been in traffic and you didn't trust your GPS and you're screaming at it and it's screaming back at you and your wife's hollering at all three of you? All right, you all know what I'm talking about. Emotion causes direction issues. dating emotions. If you're not careful, yeah, that was a long time ago, Scott. Okay. If you're not careful, people will drop their standards of dating because of emotions. They want their emotions fed and they want their emotions satisfied rather than living by principles in the Word of God. Because of sin, not because of sinful feelings, humans tend to let their feelings rule them and not their principles. It is our human nature, our sin nature, that causes us to want our emotions to lead us. Men generally, not always, men generally have a little better control of their emotions, some of them. Generally not anger. So before you get too upset with your wife for being up, down, up, down, up, down, look how you've been mad, not mad, mad, not mad, mad, not mad, back and forth. God wants us to use our emotions to trust him, just not our not only our intellect. You can trust God with your brain, but not trust him with your emotions. Too many people want to trust him with their brain, but not their emotions. Then there are some that just let their emotions go and they don't care what their brain says. That's your charismaniacs. That's the ones that lay on the floor and flip and flop and say, I got it, I got it. Oh, did you feel it? I feel the Spirit. They felt something, but there's no knowledge there. It's got to work together. This means when our emotions go against God, we trust God, not our emotions. You say, preacher, you're pretty confident these days in public. I have my moments behind the scenes where I'm, is this really right, God? I do. I'm not afraid to tell you that. But I know it's true because it's in the Word of God. And I get a good dose of it and say, here we go. That means you trust him, not your emotions. This means when we think we know what to do, we trust him anyway. This means in the craziness of this world, we trust him. If you can walk calmly while you go through the store and watch everybody freak out, it's fun. It really is. I mean, it's just, to me, it's entertainment. I'm not going to the store just to go to the store, but I've been there a couple times in the last week or so, and it's just kind of fun. I had to go to Home Depot the other morning, yesterday morning. Went early yesterday morning. I picked some things up for myself and for my neighbor and for my dad and got there early. And I got there and I jumped out of my truck and I'm a whistling away. Grabbed the cart, walked through the door, started whistling away. I went over to the lawn and garden department, and I was the only person in there. I'm humming and whistling and humming and whistling. Popped through the door, and two workers are standing there, and they said, boy, you sound awful happy for these days. I said, if you knew what I knew, you'd be happy too. They said, well, what do you know? I said, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Do you? And they just walked off. Well, nope, they're not real happy. You say, you did that, preacher? Yeah. I was whistling through the store. I needed to find something, didn't know where it was. I asked one of the fellas. He said, oh, it's down this aisle, down on this side. I said, okay. And he said, you seem pretty chipper this morning. I said, I'm chipper every morning. I said, matter of fact, I got such a big chip, my wife kicked me out of the house today. And he starts laughing. He said, you're not like everybody else around here. I said, I'm not worried about it. I said, it's okay. I said, don't take life so serious. You're not going to make it out alive anyway. He, ha, 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 and he went. I started talking to the lady at the cash register. You say, what was that, preacher? It's called trusting in the Lord. I haven't changed what I'm doing. I did that before all this. This means we don't trust our own heart. Our own heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not trust in your own heart. Take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17. Probably about 150 pages to the right there. Jeremiah 17. Look at verse number 9. Boy, I'm going to make somebody mad. Here we go. Yeah, I'm playing too. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Whoever said, well, just trust your heart, it'll lead you, you're going to go a bad direction real fast. Oh, just trust your heart, follow your heart. You're going to end up in a path of destruction because God says our heart is desperately wicked. It's full of evil. You see, we're to trust God, not trust our heart. God's heart's pure, ours is full of sin. Our heart is cursed by sin. God's heart's not. So, number one, we trust in the Lord. Number two, with all thine heart. Number three, lean not unto thine own understanding. The word lean means this. I better turn this one on here. Hang on. The word lean means this. Brother Barnes, can you turn this one down just a little? This is the one ringing. It means to lean or to lend support to. It means I'm leaning on this and it's lending support because I'm putting my weight down on it. Now, I can still stand without it, but when I'm leaning, I'm putting my weight on it. It means to rely on, to put your weight down. A couple services ago, I was leaning up against the door and Kirsten decided she was going to open the door I was leaning on. Fortunately, I heard something coming and I didn't have much weight on the door. Otherwise, I would have ended up in her lap. You say, what was that? I was leaning. Now, fortunately, I wasn't leaning heavy. But we all lean on something. God says we're not to lean on our own understanding, our own intellect. May I say this? God does not want us relying on how we sinners understand anything. Did you know everything you know is through the eyes of sin? Everything that I know is through the eyes of sin. Why do we sinners trust how we sinners see and understand over what God said we should do? We're more prone to trust another sinner than we are God. We're more prone to read somebody's commentary than to read God's Bible. We're prone to read somebody's words about the Bible versus reading God's words about the Bible. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Plain and simple. You say, why is that? By the way, Christians do it too. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 5. Man leaned on the fact that he wanted to be his own God in Genesis 3, 5. Satan said, in the day thou eatest, you could be like God, knowing good and evil. You could choose right and wrong for yourself. You don't need God. That's why man tries to rewrite God's words to match his life rather than match his life to God's word. We're not supposed to change the Bible to match man. We're supposed to change man to match the Bible. It's not what I see. It's what does God say. I'm going to make a few statements here. We think we know what God means. If God didn't say he meant it, forget it. Well, the number 5 is the number of death. The number 7 is the number of perfection. The number 3 is the number of grace. Can I tell you what? None of that is ever found in the scripture. It makes for fancy intellectualism, but it's not scriptural. Well, this person's name means this. And God bless preachers' hearts. I've heard many sermons preached on what somebody's name was, and they had nothing to do with what their name was. I'd give you a list of people with the same name that didn't turn out that way. Now, I'm not saying it's false doctrine, but what I'm saying is it's not scriptural. You didn't choose your name. Did you live up to it? So what we think we understand what God did not say doesn't matter. Well, I happen to know end time prophecy, preacher. Yeah, so do I. The rapture is going to take place. After the rapture, 3.5 years of peace. After the 3.5 years of peace, you have 3.5 years of utter hell on earth. 21 judgments in 36 months. After that, there's a battle called the Battle of Armageddon. We come back on white horses and kick the snot out of the devil and his crowd and the rest of the world. Blood will be to the bridle on the horse at the Battle of Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo. Jesus will sit on the throne in Jerusalem and we'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. And we will already have earned our rank because we've been in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ and have earned our rank at the marriage feast of the Lamb. And we'll come back, we'll take our positions, and we'll run the world for 1,000 years with Jesus being the king. That's all you need to worry about. It doesn't matter what color horse this was and what the rider on the horse was and who trimmed his toenails and who painted its fingernails and who trimmed its nose hairs. It really doesn't matter. I don't care if you can tell me what the 10 toes on the statue in Babylon was that Nebuchadnezzar saw and what each toe represented. God bless you. It doesn't mean a hill of beans. It ain't going to get anybody saved. There are so many people that think they know more because they speculate. Well, I saw a movie on this. Yeah, right. Okay. How about we just read the Bible? How about we quit trying to figure out what God did not say? Why does it matter? He told us what we needed to know. What we don't know, there's a reason for it. Everybody doing okay? We need to take God at his word, not take God at our opinion. Oh, here's where it's going to hurt. Everybody ready? Say, ouch. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Because it's coming. You ready? Well, I'll do it if God convicts me. Do you know what the word convict means? It means you did wrong, got taken to court, and found out you're guilty. How about you do it before you get taken and getting whooped? Why does somebody have to whip you before you'll do something? My daddy used to tell me, son, you're going to do this with or without a whipping. You decide whether you get the whipping or not. Either way, you're going to do it. Fortunately, most of the time, I'm smart enough to say without the whipping. Say, why is that? That punishment thing didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I didn't want to go through that. Say, why? Because I wasn't convicted. I would have been convicted had I done wrong. But why do we have to wait till we have been found doing wrong before we obey God? Ouch. Well, I'll only do it if somebody else does it. Aren't you glad we're not the minions following everybody right now? Just because somebody else does something doesn't mean it's right. Brother Arcola texted me this morning. He's having church just like we are. Brother Murillo over in Huntington's having church just like we are. About 5:30 this morning, Brother Arcola texted me. He said, I'm so glad there's another nut in the state having church tonight like I am. I said, yep, we came from the same tree. Say, what is that? I'm not following everybody else. And if he stops having church, I'm not. If somebody else stops, I'm not. Say, why? I'm me. They're not me. This is why we're supposed to study his word. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Not so that you can be an intellect, but so that you can get his understanding. Lean not to thine own understanding. Aren't you glad there are times that I have not used my own understanding, that I've borrowed God's? It's kept us out of a lot of trouble. It saved us a lot of grief. There's been times I've been able to do things that I didn't know I could do because God gave me the understanding I needed when I needed it. I wasn't relying on my understanding. I was relying on his. I remember at 2:00 one morning, God woke me up and they were building up this pad underneath this building. The Lord said, you need to stop. No, I got to keep pushing. And I didn't sleep the rest of the night. Got up, got here early. I got here real early, and this is before 7 o'clock, and Bill and Greg were out here, and they were beep, 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 working on machinery and getting things rolling, and Bill and I started talking, and I said, Bill, something's not right here. He said, Pastor. He said, this thing going to be way up in the sky, and he said, you're going to have trouble over here. We began to talk about it, and I said, stop. He said, what? I said, stop. I called the county. I said, something's wrong. I said, we've got to stop the work. Something's not right. Well, thank God we did. Found out if we'd have left it where the original engineers put this building, it would have probably cost us between $250,000 and $300,000 to put this building was cocked 18 feet this way at an angle. That point would have been there, but it was over there. That point of the building would have been over top of the retention pond. And we were going to have to extend the retention pond, and then we were going to probably, what was not in the plans yet, have to build a retaining wall to hold back all that weight supporting this pad. That wall would have been about 28 to 30 feet deep across the front of the building and then come back this way to hold back that weight. Had to have been engineered, structural engineering, geotech engineered, everything else. It would have cost us well over $250,000. I thank God I listened to God at 2 o'clock one morning. I didn't know why God said stop. I just knew he said stop. It only cost us about $18,000, $20,000 to have it re-engineered. They left that point there, moved the building back, slid it back this way, and we kept on going. 3.5 months later. So, lean not to thine own understanding. Number four, in all thy ways acknowledge him. The word acknowledge means to seek advice, to answer as God would, or to submit your will and mind to his. See, when you say, I acknowledge this, you're saying, I am in agreement with what you said, and I will do what you said. Not you're agreeing with me. It's, I agree with you. It is answering as God would. Let me ask you a question. Before you do something and get in trouble, did you seek God first? Or is he the last person you go to? Did you know God's first name's not O? Seems like we get in trouble. Oh, God! Now, this doesn't mean we pray for leading or prompting. Somebody will ask me something and I don't have to say, well, praise God for allergies. I heard Brother Barnes back there honking and it affected my nose at the same time. I'm not saying that, I'm waiting for God to lead me before we do. Folks, if it's not sinful, if it's the right timing, it's the right timing, you ought to know. And if not, come see somebody and we'll help you. I don't have to pray for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks about things, usually. I have to get clarity on it. I have to look at it from all angles to see what God would want with it, and then I give an answer. I didn't have to pray about whether we were supposed to run the bus to Virginia for the next few weeks or not. I struggled with God over the fact that I didn't want to not do it. I prayed for God to give me wisdom. He gave me the wisdom. I can't tell you I didn't ask him 3 or 4 times if he was sure. But we did what we're supposed to do. In other words, how about we do it the way Jesus did? I'm going to say this and then I'll work on closing. Jesus wasn't always in line with the religious or the political world. Matter of fact, most time he wasn't. They're the ones that crucified him. I'm not going to be in line with the ministerial association. I'm not going to be in line with those, Brother Roloff would call them wet noodle preachers that had jello spines. They wiggle when they walk. I don't fall in line with them. Now, You're not supposed to tell God how you're going to do something, and he's got to prove it either. We're to see how God would do it and try to do it his way. Let me give you one illustration, and I'm done. I'll roll it up and be done. I was new on staff with Brother Hiles. I was 29. I don't think I had turned 30 yet while I worked at the time of this, and I may have been 30 years old at the oldest. I was asking him a question one night in a men's Saturday night staff meeting. And I said, "Preacher, how would you do thus and so?" Honestly, I don't even remember what it was. He said, "Well, if I were you, I would do it this way." I said, "Thank you for that answer, but that's not the answer I was asking." And he looked at me. I said, "I didn't ask you how you advised me to do it. I asked you how you would do it." He said, "Well, I'm old and set in my ways, Craig." He said, I wouldn't ask anybody to do it my way." I said, "Just humor me. How would you do it?" And it took me about two or three times, and I finally prompted it out of him, and he told me. And as he was telling me, he said, "Now, I don't expect you to..." I said, "It's okay. I just want to hear how you would do it, not how you would advise me to do it. Say, how did you do it the way he would have done it?" I figured if it worked for him, it'll work for me. I didn't want to know how he thought I should do it. I'd like to do it the way he did it. That's a whole different answer sometimes. A recipe is sometimes a springboard, because some of y'all ladies, I've seen you cook, and you don't follow the recipe. It's just grab and slop and grab and dash and grab and sprinkle, and y'all know what I'm talking about, and all that extra slapping and sprinkling and whatever, it comes out pretty good. So sometimes it's by how somebody else has fixed it along the way. So what's the recipe? Number one, trust in the Lord. Number two, add all of your heart. Number three, add learn, lean not unto thine own understanding. And fourthly, add in all thy ways acknowledge him. Now listen to this. Follow this to the exact amounts. God says he will direct your path. He said, if you will trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. He said, if you'll do those four things, he will direct your path. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, I can do one better than that. If you'll trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. And Psalm 37:23, where he said the steps of the good man are ordered, he'll order your steps on the path that you're supposed to be on. You'll not just have your steps ordered, you'll be on the right path. He will direct you if you'll allow him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Such a simple recipe. Verses that we've read scores and maybe some hundreds of times. And we pass right by the recipe God gave us to have good, godly direction in all we do.